Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Hal Gill a little bit later this hour at 9:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators looking ahead to this weekend coming up then. Joe, some news yesterday on the quarterback front for the Tennessee Volunteers. I don't think this is a big surprise. We knew it was probably going to happen eventually, but yesterday it was official. Harrison Bailey putting his name into the transfer portal, coming out with a statement on social media, says, quote, "Dear Tennessee, thank you for allowing me to pursue my academic and athletic career here at this prestigious university. I'd like to thank everyone that's helped me develop into the person I am today on and off the field. To my brothers, I love you guys. We made a lifetime of memories over the last few years. Thank you for always supporting me through thick and thin. It's with a heavy heart I would like to announce I'll be entering my name into the transfer portal and exploring other opportunities," end quote. That coming from Harrison Bailey. Joe Rex showed your reaction to this. Are you surprised that it's happened in the middle of the season? What are your thoughts on Harrison Bailey entering his name into the transfer portal?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I guess it kind of reads to me like someone kind of holding out, waiting to see if, you know, he might get an opportunity on the field, and then ultimately figuring, no, it's not going to happen. So I guess it makes sense. I mean, look, in this whole quarterback movement world, I mean, the transfer portal is for everyone, and it's full of everybody. But especially with quarterbacks, it's not necessarily a bad thing to identify yourself for other programs. Say, I'm going to be out there, guys. Yep. I mean, it's competitive to find a good landing spot. Now, we've seen, look, Jarrett Garantano, who obviously had a lot more struggles than good times at Tennessee, still was able to, you know, get in there and have a chance to start for a Power 5 team after last year. So, I mean, I think Harrison Bailey, I think there's going to be a lot of interest in Harrison Bailey, but I don't think anybody, like this is zero surprise to the coaching staff. I would think zero surprise to Tennessee fans. And honestly, we've just seen so little of Harrison Bailey. You have to trust, although I understand that Joe Milton beat out Hendon Hooker, so I guess you could look back and say how. But I think you have to trust Josh Heupel in terms of evaluating quarterbacks, quarterback play, and what he has and doesn't have in a quarterback. I think in you know, had Harrison Bailey been the clear best QB in the roster, I think he still could have been okay in this offense. I don't know that he could be a very good quarterback somewhere. But Heupel knows what he wants, and I do think QB run game, as we've seen in this offense, is hugely important. And that's just not really something Bailey brings much of. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. And, of course, the Tennessee QB room is strapped. But, again, that's just business as usual in college football today. Those quarterback rooms just disappear. You know, you got a quarterback in every class. And then at some point, a lot of times, you'll have like two dropping out that were around the one guy who clearly is a starter. And I think Joe Milton – very likely could be following him out the door.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's pretty clear Harrison Bailey is not a fit for this offense. I mean, Josh Heupel's offense, as you said, yes, throwing the ball is important and throwing the ball deep, obviously taking the deep shots, they're not afraid to do that. But the quarterback run game is also important. And there's a pretty clear pecking order in the mind of Josh Heupel at this point, and it was Hendon Hooker number one, Joe Milton number two, and Harrison Bailey, number three. I mean, Harrison Bailey, you know, he did get in one game this year against Tennessee Tech. Quite frankly, didn't look very good against Tennessee Tech in the time. And some of it was just the throws that he made, but some of it was the offense. It just kind of looked awkward with him out there running this offense. So, you know, I don't know what this means for his long-term future. I do think it's pretty clear at this point that he was a little overhyped coming into the program. I mean, you're talking about, at this point now, two different coaching staffs looking at him and saying, okay, yeah, probably not ready to be the starter at this point. I mean, he started last season basically by necessity at the end of the year, and then JT Schrout came in and looked better than Harrison Bailey did at the end of the year. So, you know, I'm not saying that Harrison Bailey's not going to go somewhere else and play really well and look like a good quarterback. You know, he was a five-star quarterback for a reason. There's obviously some talent there. I'm interested to see where he ends up. I have my doubts that it will be the Georgias or the Clemsons or the Alabamas and Floridas of the world. That would be my guess, that it's not going to be at one of those big-time programs.
I think you're probably right. I will say, though, when you talk about, was he overhyped? Sure. I mean, that makes him like 90% of these quarterbacks coming out. But you're still like the last staff. Let's remember, they're dealing with a true freshman here, right?
Sure.
So for him to not be ready to just come right in and set the world on fire as a true freshman makes him like more than 90% of quarterbacks coming into college football, big-time college football. And, you know, the fact that he didn't beat those other two guys out. I mean, look, for all the criticism of Joe Milton, Joe Milton has a skill set. You know, Joe Milton has some things to offer, and Hendon Hooker has been outstanding. I mean, Hendon Hooker has been great. He's been far beyond what I ever would have guessed. You know, so you also, like, he's behind those two guys. I guess you could say, how could you not beat out Milton to be the two at some point? But, yeah, I think you're right. He's going to go to, could he go to a, you know, Cincinnati loses Ritter or something? Like, would a Harrison Bailey be? Like, I think it'll be either a mid-range Power 5 or maybe a really good Group of 5 program. And who knows? I mean, he could, you know, professional athletes sometimes are way better at age 27 than they were at age 24.
Yep.
A guy like Derrick Henry comes to mind.
Ryan Tannehill.
Well,
that could just be situation too. But, I mean, this could be situation. I mean, it's interesting, though, to think about. Let's go back to early spring in Knoxville. The quarterback room is some variation of Hendon Hooker. You've got Brian Maurer. You've got Harrison Bailey. And you've got Caden Salter. And then Joe Milton comes into the mix. And then Caden Salter's gone. And then Brian Maurer's gone. And now Harrison Bailey's gone. And I think you're right. I think at the end of this season, there's a decent chance that Joe Milton's gone too. I just think this is what it is in college football now. Like, if you have a quarterback room that you feel good about and that you think that there's some depth there, it's going to be really hard to keep it, because if you feel good about your quarterback room, that probably also means the quarterback behind your starter thinks that they can play and they're going to want to play somewhere else. So it's going to be really interesting at this position specifically, because it's going to happen in other positions, but quarterback's going to be the headliner. How do you, as a program, build up some quarterback depth, knowing that you're basically going to have it for a year, and then you're going to have to reshuffle the deck again? I mean, that's basically what college football quarterbacks is going to turn into.
Yeah, and the thing is, look, I don't blame anybody, and maybe name, image, likeness increases that a little bit too. Like Harrison Bailey, for example, I remember at Media Day, I was asking about name, image, likeness, and he was saying, yeah, like, actually, I don't want that on my plate, so I have this, like, marketing firm deals with it for me. Okay. No, that makes sense. Well, I bet you they haven't been too busy.
Probably not.
You know? I bet you they haven't been too busy this year. So there's the urgency also to cash in. Like, Hendon Hooker right now, I don't know if he's going to be an NFL quarterback in the next year. If he's going to play like this and then come back and be, like, a great quarterback next year, I hope he gets rich in the next year at Tennessee.
Yep.
He should. That's exactly what this is for. But that also means, I think, even more likelihood of guys not willing to wait. Because that's one – I mean, it used to be, sure, you had more transfers probably at quarterback than any other position. But there was still a lot of quarterbacks who, okay, it's my redshirt sophomore year, or it's my junior year. Now I get my chance. And I think you are going to see less of that.
Oh, I think so too. And now the question becomes, like, if you're Josh Heupel, you know, you're trying to figure out the quarterback of the future. Hendon Hooker's got another year left. And I would assume, like, Hendon Hooker's not going to the NFL after this year. He's probably coming back. Would be my guess. I mean, maybe, I could be wrong, but that'd be my guess.
I need to, like, start looking. Like, I am really curious to see, like, how he's perceived right now, if it's changed. But, yeah.
I mean, I would assume he's back is the likely scenario. And then he's your starting quarterback a year from now. You do have a recruit coming in that unless something happens off the field, like we saw this past spring, will be on the roster. Yeah, I mean, if you're Tennessee, you're looking right back at the transfer portal this offseason and trying to get some quarterback depth that way. And that's probably going to be a yearly thing for college football coaches.
Yeah, and also, so last year in the portal, who knew? Who knew who might win the job? Hendon Hooker's already in here from the last staff. Then Milton comes in and all that. But, I mean, if if Tennessee wants you now in the portal, you know they want you as the backup. Two. So yep. Who are you going to get for that?
I don't know.
It's going to be a true freshman backing up Hendon Hooker.
But the thing still remains, like, all it takes is one injury, and you're in there as the quarterback. But that's it's tough to have that mindset coming in.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, it's going to be, I believe, a true freshman backing up Hendon Hooker next year. It's not ideal.
Speaking of the Vols, no game for the Vols this weekend, so a big weekend for recruiting for Josh Heupel and company. How is the recruiting going for this group as Chase McKay pokes his head in? And how can Josh Heupel make this better as they continue to move forward here? We'll discuss that coming up next. Make sure you join Stars for this year's Cherish the Night Unplugged event on Wednesday, November the 3rd at Marathon Music Works. This year's lineup is incredible, featuring Gordon Kennedy, Charles Esten, and Danny Flowers, with a special presentation of the Troy Gentry Compassion Award to the Young Fables. To learn more and to register, go to starsnashville.org. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub downtown this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Mark Howard, former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and myself, Robbie Stanley. Join us from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub downtown at 151 Fifth Avenue North prior to the Titans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Talking Vols, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrode, the Vols right now, according to the 24/7 composite rankings, ranked 31st in the nation for recruiting for the 2022 class. It's not great, not very good in the SEC either. My question to you is, how much better can Josh Heupel make this? And he talked about it a little bit yesterday in terms of it being easier to recruit now that you actually have a product on the field to sell at the University of Tennessee. You've seen this offense. There are things that have gone well for Tennessee this year. So I think that makes sense when you start to connect the dots on, especially if you're an offensive skill player. It's got to be fun to watch this offense and think, might be able to put up some numbers in this offense. How much better do you think Josh Heupel can get this recruiting for Tennessee at a place that has every resource you could possibly ask for? They've got a situation going on with the NCAA right now that who knows how 17- and 18-year-olds view exactly what that looks like. You've got NIL laws now into effect, and you've got what they've done so far on the field. What does this recruiting situation look like for Josh Heupel as they continue to try to improve upon that ranking throughout the rest of this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to finish strong for sure. I mean, you would think that you would get some payoff for the product on the field. My gosh. I mean, the product on the field and the scene around the field, you know, any of those recruits who, and they had a lot, who went to those games, and, you know, particularly the Ole Miss game, I mean, that's got to be alluring, right? That's got to be intriguing to a prospect. The offense has got to be intriguing. Frankly, if I'm a defensive player watching what Tim Banks did with those guys, that's one of those things where it's like, really like how they play. They're aggressive. They, like, lead Power 5 schools and tackles for loss. Also, I can see some opportunity for myself because they're not ultra-talented. So I think there's a lot to offer. I think the season has to be a big help to Tennessee. And also, usually, and I think you could go back, I don't have it in front of me, but go back to Butch Jones's second class, go back to Jeremy Pruitt's second class. Usually that first full class where you have the full – time to, you know, to recruit, also to get to know the class and all that stuff and get to know your program and how it all works. You know, usually that second class / first full class for a coach is pretty good.
Yep.
If you got things going. And Tennessee, for all of its lack of success, has had some very good recruiting classes per the rankings over the years. Now, we can also look back at some of those classes and say, gosh, that was an overrated class. Or, gee, when you lose 75% of your class, what does it matter, right? Or you don't develop 60% of the class.
That's the other thing, like not developing guys. Like you look around and, you know, Marquez Callaway is the number one wide receiver in the NFL. Alvin Kamara, although he was good at Tennessee, is like one of the best backs.
Callaway was too. He was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Or not. Maybe that's more like not utilizing guys as they as much or as well as they should be utilized. Look, the knock on Heupel in a small sample size was that UCF's recruiting did not capitalize on what they had done under his predecessor.
Yep.
But it's still just hard to it's hard to take that to this situation because it's just so different at Tennessee. It's harder in a lot of ways, too. It's, you know, what's difficult is when you come in right away, one, total negativity, not just the NC investigation, but just total negativity around the program.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I mean, and even, look, I mean, people pile on Tennessee when they get a chance at times nationally. I mean, I understand Tennessee fans being mad, like Pete Thamel, for what he wrote after the Ole Miss game, because it's just like, man, is it the worst fan base in sports? You know, I don't know about that. But there's negativity. People do take their shots. There's the investigation. There's the continued, as success continues to not happen, I think it does get more difficult. But at the same time, you, like you just said, you have a ton to offer. So I mean, ultimately, this is going to tell the story long term for Josh Heupel of whether he can get this team to compete to be in Atlanta or not. Right now, I'm still withholding too much judgment.
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of what I've seen from Josh Heupel in terms of on-the-field decision-making, play calling, getting the best out of players that they have. Like, I like a lot of those elements so far with Josh Heupel. The biggest question I had when he was hired was, I mean, can this guy recruit? And, you know, so far you look at the recruiting, it's not good enough to consistently compete at an SEC level. I mean, it's just not so far, especially given where a program like Tennessee wants to compete. Now, I think it's also premature to just say, you know what, that's what this is going to be under Josh Heupel when he can't recruit. I mean, I think you've got to give him some time to really build his program, get a better look at what the offense is going to look like, try to move away from the negativity that I think largely is still there, not only just around the program, but, I mean, you know, there has been a perception about Tennessee, both off the field and on the field, for the last decade of it's just kind of an average place and an average program. And, you know, there's a belief among the fan base, especially those that have watched this for a long time, that it's not. It's more than that. It's above average. And you're trying to create that experience for 17, 18-year-olds making a decision on where to play college football. So there's a lot of work that Josh Heupel still has left to do. At the end of the day, am I going to judge him on his 2022 recruiting class? Probably not. Once we start to move into 2023, 2024, that's when I think you really start to take a look at what you've got there. But I do think this is an opportunity as they move ahead here, especially if you can have a good showing against Kentucky. If you don't just get totally eviscerated by Georgia and you end up 6-6, maybe in a bowl game, maybe not, see what happens there. I think there's still a chance here for the first season of Josh Heupel where you can look back on it and say, huh, that actually went pretty well.
Well, I agree. And I totally agree on like the class, whatever it is, you know, you're not going to have a big judgment. I will say that it would be good to see them move up from, what are they, 12th in the SEC right now?
Yeah.
Like have a finish here and get some scores. You know, it's not just the negativity and everything coming in with Heupel. Like you got to put it in the context of he also comes in at a time when Kentucky is a very solid program that is doing recruiting things. I mean, Mark Stoops has gone into Ohio and done things that no one would have guessed. And he comes in here and gets a couple kids that I think normally, you know, those twins, I mean, I think normally those are Tennessee locks.
Yep.
So, I mean, I can't put that on Heupel. You know, he comes in and it's like all these, like, you know, hat day announcements. And it's like the dude's been here, you know, a month.
Right.
But it also kind of illustrates the challenge. He is coming in. The situation gets worse and worse with each coaching failure. So it's got to be a long-term thing in stability, and over time we'll see if maybe the knock is true and he just can't recruit at that level. And if that's the case, then I think you're going to be looking at a lot of 7-5, 8-4 fun to watch teams.
Do you want to win a pair of tickets to see Manchester Orchestra at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November 17th? Head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see Manchester Orchestra live. Once you subscribe, email us at promotions@cromwellmedia.com. Once again, that's promotions@cromwellmedia.com with your YouTube handle. One winner will be chosen on Monday, November the 1st. When we come back, we'll be joined by Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Get his thoughts on the team as they head into a big matchup this weekend against the New York Islanders. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And as we do every Thursday at 9:30, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Hal Gill, Preds radio analyst. Hal, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Just a little rainy day here, but it's been nice to have a couple days off and gear up for this Saturday matinee.
So, Hal, what have you made of the Predators over the course of the last two games? Obviously in Minnesota, offensive explosion by the team, especially on the power play, and then they come back and fight one, grind one out against the Sharks to win their last two games. What's kind of stood out to you for the group over the last couple of games?
Yeah, I feel like Minnesota was a pretty solid game. I don't think Minnesota brought their A game. But and I'll say that about the Sharks too. I don't think they were on top of their game. So, but I do feel like the Preds pushed the pace offensively. They were on attack. They were changing lanes. They were shifting. They were double teaming guys, giving goes in quick plays. I feel like the attack meter was up, and so I feel like they're building on something pretty good with that. I do think that the defensive zone, which we saw was so good early on, I think that's starting to come together. And if you can get their defensive coverage that they had and shown that they can do and mix that with the creativity that they're getting on offense, I think you're going to see some wins start to pile together. And I think that's the game plan. They have a pretty good mix through the lines of guys that are going to go be physical and hard to play against and guys that are going to go out and score goals. So, so far I've been really optimistic about the way things are going.
So, Hal, we've talked a fair amount today about Dante Fabbro and his start, which is pretty encouraging. What do you see when you watch him play now, maybe compared with last year? And do you think Fabbro Yossi is a long-term, pairing for this team?
Yeah. Absolutely. Dante came out in his first two games. He was like, the first game he wasn't really quite himself, and I was concerned about it. I'm like, after all that, he talked about the summer and how he trained differently and kind of refocused. And then he came in and I'm like, okay, that wasn't his best game. I'll give him a ton of credit. He's been awesome since then. He got bumped up on to playing with Yossi, and he's not letting Yossi steal the reins. He's driving with him, and it's a lot of fun to see. Like, I was laughing in Minnesota. He had the puck on the string. He was dangling guys, and there's a different level of confidence that he has. Defensively, he's closing his gap, and he's aggressive. But offensively, as soon as he gets the puck, it's not just quick look to see where he can dump it off. He's making that one play. He's getting his feet moving. And then as soon as he beats one guy, it shifts the defense, and he's able to take advantage of that and move the puck to another player that can get some strides on some guys. So I think he's creating a ton of offense from the back end. He's also adding to the offense by being involved in the offensive zone. So I've been really happy with his game, and the confidence seems to be overflowing. So a lot of fun to watch right now.
Hal, we had Alex Carrier on Smashville Live last night, and he talked about one of the main differences of playing with Yossi and Ekholm is, Ekholm's getting a lot of starts in the D zone. Obviously, Roman's getting a lot of starts in the O zone. As a defenseman, like, how does that change the way that you have to play when you know that depending on who you're paired with, you may be deployed differently than maybe you would be if you're with Yossi?
Yeah, I don't know. I never started in the offensive zone. So. No, seriously, it's funny when you play with and it's also the line matchups that you're looking at. You know, it's offensive zone starts and defensive zone starts, but the lines that you're matching up against, if you're playing with one guy who's the shutdown D, then, you know, you're going to get out against the best lines. And if you're playing with one guy that's offensive, they're going to throw you out against the third and fourth line and try to take advantage of that. So there's different looks for it, but I really think it all comes down to just realizing what your partner does. You know, Roman Josi is a different player than Matthias Ekholm, but they both push up through the neutral zone. And so you want to get them the puck and let them push, but you also want to bring a couple guys over your way and then give it to him so he can push. If you're playing with a guy who's just going to be static and stay back, then that's on you to go. And so I think there's a balance between who you're playing with. But from what I see a lot of similarities in the way that Ekholm and Josi play. But, you know, obviously Josi is a little bit more of a rover.
So, Hal, what do you make of Connor Ingram? One, what he did on the ice the other night, but also, you know, what he's done and what he's gone through and where he is now after the past year of his life.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story, right? I mean, he's gone through a lot, and I love seeing people that have gone through hard times and stuck with it. It says a lot about their character, and Connor is one of those guys. Playing in the NHL is not easy, never mind battling through obstacles. You know, it just says a lot about, and then the honesty that he has to say, hey, I had problems and I had to take care of it. And mental health came first, and he took care of himself. And you talk to John Hines, you talk to anyone on the team, and they'll tell you he's changed his lifestyle around, and he's living a whole new lifestyle, and that's not easy to do. And then never mind being in the best league in the world and winning. It's really a remarkable story, and you know, it makes you feel proud to be around the Preds organization when stuff like that happens. And I'm super happy for him that he got to play and played as well as he did. He looked calm, right? I mean, like, you watch that game and he was never in a panic, never out of position, I feel like he just really enjoyed it, and he was at peace with it. And I think that's what was the fun part to watch, is that someone belongs in the league, not just trying to play a game in the league, but I feel like he belongs.
Preds radio analyst Hal Gill on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Hal, we had John Hines on with us a little bit earlier in the show, talking about Ryan Johansson, and basically he said, you know, he's moving his feet more, he's making quicker decisions with the puck, not trying to slow the game down as much and just reacting out there. Do you agree with that assessment? What stood out to you about the way Ryan Johansson has started this season? Obviously, both with the points he's being rewarded with, but his play away from the puck as well.
Yeah, I think he's playing a grittier game. You know, he's battling. You could see shades of physicality, kind of like, you know, we always talk about playoff Ryan Johansson is a different player. Well, he's playing that way right now. He's got an edge to him. You know, it's funny because, you know, last year when you're calling games from a TV screen, you don't see it. But when you're at a game, you can see the play away from the play, and you can see whether Ryan Johansson is engaged, because, you know, it's the puck has moved up the ice and he's riding next to his defenseman and he's giving him a shot. And if he's doing that, then I feel like he's engaged in his game and you know, finishing a hit, not just trying to get around a guy, but trying to punish him while he's doing it. And I feel like he's playing that way right now. He's a big, huge body. He's tough to move. And so I feel like on that bumper position where he's battling for pucks in the crease and in the high slot, I feel like that's where he can be strong, and he's played well there. So, yeah, I'm encouraged where his game is going. I think to a large degree, a lot of players are going to follow him if he plays that edgy game.
Hal, I got to ask you, what do you think of this, you know, this story that has dominated, you know, right now the last few days and really the last few months, this Blackhawks situation, and what would you like to see result or change from this?
It kind of blows my mind because I don't understand it. I if someone comes up and says they have a problem, and I feel like in the NHL, you know, when guys have a problem, it's heard, and I don't understand how it just got left behind. Obviously, there was a problem, and it needed to be addressed, and I don't know how that got swept under the rug, and so many people have been hurt by the fact that it wasn't taken care of, and it seems like a simple thing. And I know they're in a playoff run, the Blackhawks, and you say, okay, we don't want distractions. Well, get the distractions out of the locker room. Get them out, away from, pull them out. And this guy should have been yanked out. And you don't even have to ask questions. Just pull him out, get him away, and we'll deal with it. But I don't understand how this all slipped through, and it's awful to see Beach come out and own up to it. Great on him, and he did all the right things. He told all the right people, and it wasn't taken care of. So I don't know where it's thought. I don't know whose job it is to make sure that you see it through and punish the people that need to be punished. But there's someone that dropped the ball, and it's sad. And it continued, and for that reason, I'll say it again. I just don't understand it. It's that stuff should not be tolerated, and it should have been handled and done with, and we wouldn't be talking about this right now.
Well said. Preds radio analyst Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday at 9:30. Hal, appreciate you, brother.
All right, thanks, guys. Enjoy your Thursday.
Absolutely, you as well. Hal Gill, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back, react a little bit to what Hal had to say. Got some tickets to give away as well on the other side. All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. It is the
same beat.
Who are
you going to call? Ghostbusters.
It is the same beat.
Exact same beat.
I never noticed that before.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a better song. It's a great song.
Huey Lewis Sports is a freaking good album, man.
Yeah, man.
Good
Who
album.
Knew?
Yeah, there you go.
Who knew Ghostbusters was a direct rip of a Huey Lewis song?
But I love them both.
Yes.
They both have their place in my 80s heart.
Yeah.
That's yeah, Nick Wilde, though, right?
Yeah.
What was it? There was another one like that. Well, obviously, there's the Vanilla Ice, you know, Queen David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
But he added one little bang with the bass. Yeah. So he was okay there.
That's right. We've got some tickets to give away to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium on Wednesday, November the 3rd. Be caller number 3 at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Daughtry at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday, November the 3rd. So make sure, hit up those phone lines right now, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, to check that out coming up on November the 3rd. Joe Rexrode, you're off to the great state of Michigan this weekend for the first part of the weekend. Then you'll be at Titans and Colts coming up on Sunday. Big matchup this week between Michigan and Michigan State. And I feel like nobody's really talking about it because I don't know that anybody believes that Michigan or Michigan State is an actual threat in the Big Ten this year. But this is a big game coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the winner will be in the playoff picture.
Yep.
I still kind of look at Ohio State and the way they're playing now and think, eh. You know, but honestly, before last week, I thought it was Ohio State and Penn State, and now Penn State just, see ya, they're mm-hmm. out. Now they're just talking about James Franklin and USC. So, yeah, the winner will be in there. I don't think either team is good enough. But if you get into a one-game situation, they're both going to have a one-game – or not both. The winner is going to have a one-game situation against Ohio State, and if you somehow find some magic on that day, you might actually be in the playoff picture. Yes, we have tickets, and by the way – I will be wearing my Nolensville High School football sweatshirt. Will not be rooting 1 second for Michigan State.
There you go.
But I've got some family members who may be a little too rowdy. One in particular, we got to keep him under wraps here.
Yes. Looking forward to that big fantasy football matchup this weekend.
That's
too.
Right, and I'm taking him on in that. God, cannot lose. 1-6. Got to get to 2-6. Cannot lose to Brennan. cannot lose to them.
We began the show by this, but what a performance last night by Nashville SC. They hang up 6 goals last night against Cincinnati. They get it done 6-3, coming back from trailing in that game to win 6-3 and punch their ticket to the playoffs for the second consecutive season. So you're sitting here talking about, you know, a team that's an expansion franchise. The first 2 years of their existence, they found their way into the playoffs. And there was a tweet from Tom Bogert that says, Nashville SC officially clinched a playoff place last night, currently sitting second in the East. Their expansion entrance to MLS has been phenomenal. There have been 18 expansion teams in MLS history. Nashville are one of 5 who made the playoffs both of their first 2 seasons. So some impressive stuff from Nashville SC, and it was a great story last year in the playoffs. But it kind of feels to me, Joe, that this team is actually dangerous and maybe a threat to win the whole thing this year in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's very different. It's going to be a very different feel. Now, on one hand, there's more pressure. There's more expectation. And that's, you know, that team last year had the benefit of none, really. Just and they went on a run. But also they have the confidence. And I think that, you know, like they should feel like they're right there, that they can contend and they can make a run. So it'll be fun to watch and see if they do. And by the way, I think it was yesterday. Was it yesterday I was complaining about how, what, in the previous 4 matches there had been a combined between the teams 3 goals scored.
There was 9. That was yesterday.
Yeah, and then in one game.
There
the,
was 9.
The response is, how about 9? How about 9 goals for you? So
they heard you.
And even my pick to click.
That's right.
So how about
back
that?
On the board, CJ Sapong scores. Randall Leal scores. Hany Mukhtar did not score yesterday.
Imagine Ake someone Lopa telling did. You. Yeah, yeah, finally. Imagine someone telling you, they're going to score 6 goals, and Mukhtar is not going to be one of them.
Yeah, I would have taken those odds. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Feeling all right about that. But, hey, it's good also to have some diversity of scoring.
That's right.
As you move toward the postseason. Sapong getting back on the board.
Join the Nashville Predators for the 2022 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series game at Nissan Stadium coming up on February the 26th as the Preds host the 2-time defending Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning outdoors for the ultimate celebration of hockey. You can be a part of the 70,000 rocking fans at Nissan Stadium. Smashville is very excited to welcome the entire hockey community for a unique spectacle that celebrates the spirit of Nashville. It is going to be awesome at Nissan Stadium and the surrounding area coming up on February the 26th. So make sure you're a part of it. Buy your tickets now at nhl.com/stadium series tickets. Once again, that's nhl.com/stadium series tickets. Joe Rexler and my beloved Green Bay Packers in action tonight against the Arizona Cardinals. Sunday Night Football, 7-0 team, 6-1 team. Great matchup on paper. And then you look at the injury/COVID situation. No J.J. Watt. Looks like he might be out the rest of the season. Looks like Devontae Adams is not going to play because of COVID. Alan Lazard not going to play because of COVID protocols as well. So interested to see how this game goes tonight and whether or not Aaron Rodgers has enough weapons without Devontae Adams to hang up some points against that Arizona defense.
Get ready, Robert Tonyan.
I would take
Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
Bring
Kentucky
it back
guy.
Old school.
A little Randall Cobb.
Every time
in
you
there.
Guys say Randall Cobb, I say that.
A little Randall Cobb in there. Amari Rodgers. Get some action tonight.
That's right. It's about time for him to emerge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see these two teams play full strength, but I'm still pretty excited for the game.
Yeah. I'm excited for the game,
too.
I can
tell you are, too.
I'm very nervous. Very nervous.
How important is it? How important is it in the NFC this year to get the one?
I think it's pretty important.
A lot of contenders. A lot of contenders for that one.
Well, I mean, it's basically, I mean, it's a playoff game that you've won, essentially, if you get the one seed. So, I mean, it's pretty crucial. Now, just a piece of advice. I would imagine they're going to use Aaron Jones in a variety of ways tonight. With no Devontae Adams, he'll be in the backfield. They'll probably line him up in the slot. Aaron Jones probably going to be getting the ball a lot tonight, be my guess.
Yeah.
A.J. Dillon probably going to get a lot of carries.
And then Dillon probably too, right?
Yep.
If they can possess the ball like that, then yep. I'm sure they'd love to do that. Yeah, it's the Cardinals have kind of had this charmed existence, but now the J.J. Watt news, that's tough. And it kind of brings me back, all the way back to the spring when there were some Titans fans who badly wanted them to go pay him, and it's like he's going to get hurt.
Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins, questionable for tonight as well. So in a game that may, when they're full strength, feature the two absolute best wide receivers in football with DeAndre Hopkins and Devontae Adams, maybe neither one of them tonight. I kind of feel like Hopkins will play, but we'll see.
That would stink, you know?
Yeah.
Too much of that in this league, but I guess that's what happens when you play a sport that is controlled violence.
Very Packers, Aaron Rodgers very vocal about the Thursday night football games this week.
Oh, yeah?
Not a fan of them.
Yeah.
Not a fan of them.
Which I don't think he's alone there. Too.
You've heard less of that in the last few years, I feel like.
Yeah.
It was very but again, it's like, I agree, but these things are collectively bargained.
Yeah, exactly.
So you
gotta go play, man.
You agreed to do these things.
That's right.
I agree that it's ridiculous.
That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroad. We will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase is up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.